Hi guys, this is the Saudi Football Fanatics channel. Welcome. We have good news for you. This is a round number, and now I checked it. It's really a round number. It's number 20 of our episodes. And for this nice landmark, we have the full team here. Hi guys.
Hi, Jula.
Hello, hello.
Is this seriously the 20th episode, Jula?
Yeah. I double and triple checked it. So, well, let's get personal first. Did you think that we will reach this landmark?
No.
Honest opinion.
Yeah, I think our first goal was to keep up until Christmas. And after we've done it, I didn't think about it again. So,
yeah,
I don't know what was the main goal of my sentence, but that was it.
And it's also worth mentioning that both our Facebook and Instagram accounts are getting more and more followers. So thank you guys for supporting us, and we ask you to keep your support if you like these episodes. We stay focused and enthusiastic on the league and the Saudi football in general, and we promise you that we will keep up working on hopefully quality and entertaining episodes. So here's the next one, and let's get to it, because we love the King's Cup, and I think you guys share my passion too. It's much more interesting than the, for example, Carabao Cup. And we had some very good matches already this season, and let's talk about the semi-finals, because both matches were much anticipated. And we had some really good, entertaining football here. So let's talk about the first match, about Al Ittihad's. I didn't even count which they met quite a few occasions earlier with Al Hilal this season.
Yeah, I think 4 or 5 times this year, because they met each other in the Champions League, in the Cup, maybe in the Super Cup as well, and also in the league. So it's probably 6.
Something like that. But this matchup was very much familiar to Saudi football followers. And we can say that Al Ittihad had a good reason to prepare for revenge, because prior to this match, they lost on each occasion against Al Hilal. So nobody really expected that the result will be different, but in the end, we can say that this was a much closer end result than we might have anticipated.
Because of certain circumstances, we have to say. And at the end of the day, no surprises in either of these semifinal legs.
Can tell that. Spoiler alert, on the 6th or 7th, or whoever knows which occasion. But yes, Al Hilal progressed to the semi-final, to the final from the semi-final. And we can say that, it was a close match, because this circumstance was, if I understand correctly, you guys are on the same opinion, a well-deserved red card for Sergej Milinkovic-Savic in the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a big loss for Al Hilal. I don't know whether you checked that he can or cannot play in the final, because before the first goal, I think it was magical what he did between among three defenders, and after that, just a dull red card again from him. So it wasn't the cleverest move ever, and I think he will be missed from the finals, and that will be a big loss.
Yeah, I'm quite sure that he will miss the finals, because if you check the league, his suspension didn't roll over to the league. He was able to play in the league. So, yeah.
It was indeed magical, those movements by Milinkovic-Savic. I mean, we will for sure talk about that, but we can agree that it was his goal.
Yeah, nice goal and a nice performance from Al Hilal. I think, just to get back to square zero, the most important thing for Al Hilal before this match was, I think, the fitness of Aleksandar Mitrović, who was fit to play. And another spoiler alert, he had a massive role in both goals, which Ahila scored in the end. So
he and was some, well. And some significant rages on the pitch as well, especially after the red card. So he seemed as a fit person to me when he was quickly appearing in the face of the referee every minute.
But yeah, we can say that I understand that your opinion is the same, that the red card was well deserved. I unfortunately was only able to follow the second half of the match because of working duties, and the highlights I checked after the match was, well, not so clear to me, but it seems that Mitrovic was not happy with the VAR decision on the red card too, so...
But you rarely see a happy Mitrovic, right? I mean, if they are receiving. So for me, it was an obvious red card, although I have to say that it was, for me, it seemed like it was not an intentional fault by Milinkovic Savic. But at the end of the day, the style of how he tried to tackle and how he kicked the ankle instead of the ball in a very harsh manner, I would say it's a clear red card to me. But it was not intentional, so I would not blame that much Milinkovic-Savic for this one.
Yeah, sometimes we can say that there is a fine margin between a perfect tackle and a red card. And this time it was a red card. So
yeah, and it was a straight red card, if I recall correctly, right?
The VAR reviewed the challenge and it became a straight red card. But yes, apart from that, what really happened in the first half, and I think we can summarize it this way, both teams had a disallowed goal due to offside. And this will be an interesting topic because in the second half, the offside rule had, well, let's say, some significance. But in the first half, both teams had a goal disallowed, and in the end, a Michal goal after the already mentioned Sergei magic was the only goal which fell, and which ensured that Ahila is going into the second half with a fine lead. But they had a really difficult task to defend in the second half against Al Ittihad, who probably had the best chance to win against Ahila finally this season.
Yeah, that sorry, but about that offside that you mentioned on the first half, we just have to mention that it was a very close call, right? I mean, even with the technology, you could see that we are talking about a couple of centimeters there. So it also shows that it really did not it was not Al Ittihad's I don't know, Al Ittihad's acts and actions that would have led to this. It was not an intentional offside trap or so Al Hilal basically did whatever they wanted. That is what I want to say until the red card, and even with that offside situation, we could say that it was really a question of centimeters that it did not get a 2-0 score.
Yeah, actually, yes. And let's talk about the second half, because watching the match, I had the feeling that Al Ittihad didn't really, well, expose the red card. I mean, they had a lot of possession, but and yes, in the end, they leveled to 1-1. But it was a magic from Hamdallah, and if it was not for Hamdallah, I didn't really see Ittihad scoring, which I think is a valid critic against them, or a praise of Ahila once again. I don't know how to phrase it.
I understand your point, but okay, if there's no Hamad Allah, what do you think? Who would have scored, or who would have the chances what Hamad Allah had? Because they didn't have Benzema for this game. They didn't have any other attacking potential, I think, beyond Hamad Allah. So I don't think that this is a problem. If it's like you would say that it's a problem that only Haaland scored against Wolverhampton or something like that. So I don't think that it's really a problem that we saw only chances from Hamad Allah, because there were a lot of chances. The bigger problem were with the with the defense of Etihad in the second half. You mentioned before our recording that there were a lot of high chances and great counterattacks from Al Hilal, against which the Etihad defense seemed weak. And I think that was a much bigger problem because Al Hilal was able to score another goal from these counterattacks and decided the game.
Yeah, absolutely. This is probably the decisive factor. I mean, you're right, because Al Ittihad had in the end enough chances to secure a win if they were a little bit more efficient or lucky, whichever is the case. But the bigger problem is, as the time passed, they put on so many attacking players that their defense became even more exposed. And what I wanted to highlight is that whenever Al Hilal had a chance, I mean a counter-attack, it always looked more potent than an Al Ittihad attack. And I mean that if you check the goal of Hamdallah, it was a beautiful performance, a well-deserved goal for Hamdallah anyway, because he really had the chances to decide the match himself. But I don't think it was the result of Al Ittihad's, let's say, great offensive, but it was rather a personal performance. I mean, so it was Hamdallah's brilliance, not Al Ittihad's brilliance. On the other hand, whenever Al Hilal had a counter attack, you had the feeling that something is going to happen, and in the end, it did. Right back, Abdul Hamid scored a decisive goal, and Al Ittihad didn't have a response to that.
Yeah, and I believe it shows you that why Al Hilal is so good in this year and apart from this year as well, and not only because of its organized defense or the very good team strategy or something like that. They just precise and they know what to do. They know when and how to perform in crucial situations, in the most decisive situations. They always do the right decisions. And even if you believe that their opponent control the game, right? Even in that case, if you recall back, you will always remember for bigger chances for Al Hilal and not for the opponents. Even if the opponent is seemingly controlling the game, at the end of the day, that happens on the pitch that Al Hilal wants. And for me, there is a lot of similarities between, for example, Real Madrid's performance in the last years and or decades, and what Al Hilal shows to us now in Asia.
Well, yes, just don't misunderstand me. I don't say that Al Ittihad didn't have the chances they had. And what I already mentioned, there were some offside situations, even in the second half, and it was really close. So Hamdallah had a disallowed goal in the second half as well because of offside. The key point here is that Al Hilal knows what to do, and they do it perfectly. And I think, yes.
Yes,
I felt sorry for Al Ittihad because they, if you watch the match, they really tried everything. So you cannot
I too felt sorry for Al Ittihad, and honestly, I respect so much Al Hilal, but on the other hand, this is a Saudi Football Fanatics channel, so I can share that I would have been more happy with an Al Ittihad win in this case, not only because Al Nassr would be the opponent, but also because it would made a more colorful palette of the Saudi football in that case. But even if we are taking all this into account and looking at the match, I honestly, even after the red card, did not have the feeling that Al Ittihad will win this match, and nothing, no bad feelings about Al Ittihad. They are good. They are a great team. We all know that. But you just look at the match and you just cannot imagine how they will beat Al Hilal even with one more man on the pitch. And I did not give any chance at that point.
I think what you say is highlighted by the fact that if you don't know that there was a red card, you probably wouldn't have realized it. What you would have seen is a team defending harder than the other one, but you know, we can see teams playing for counter attacks. So yeah, and one more point here, and I think then we can move to the other match, is that I was thinking after the match that who should be the man of the match. And, you know, I couldn't pick them because it was not the fact of a great individual performance. It was a great team performance instead. And you can say that, yes, Abdul Hamid maybe deserves it because he did a great job when he scored, and he obviously was had a key part in the defense as the right back of the team. You could also see that Mitrovic maybe deserves it because he had a role in both goals. And however, apart from that, he was walking lonely in the in the offensive line of Al Hilal. So.
But at the end of the day, if I would need to choose, I would either give it to Malcolm or Mikhail in this game.
Or to Hamed Alakh from my side.
Yeah, Hamed Alakh also could deserve it, I would say.
For me, only if he scores what he gets. And I, for example, he had a huge miss. I understand. Okay, he get into position very well, etc. But yeah, I had a feeling that Al Hilal would have scored. If they would have been there in that situation, because they are better in crucial situations. But okay, obviously Hamdallah was one of the best because he's always one of the best on the pitch. He's a class striker in that case. But yeah, that's Al Hilal. We are talking about the same conclusion in every episode.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see whether they will lose a match in the league or not, and they will still play Al Nassr. So.
Maybe this evening when they are playing against Al
Ahly. Just a note that while we are making this episode, the postponed match against Al Ahly is almost underway. In less than 2 hours, it will start. But now I think we already praised Al Hilal enough in this episode, so a good habit to do.
Let's move to the next match.
This was a little bit different because, yes, we know that Al Hilal had a great form this season, and probably if you interviewed people, most people would have said that Al Hilal is going to beat Al Ittihad. But you know, it's a tight match. It's a big Saudi Clásico in the end, so anything can happen. But we had this Al Nassr Khalij match where you know. If you interviewed the same people, probably everyone would have said that Al Nassr will win easily. And, well, spoiler alert, this is what happened.
It was quite easy. It was quite easy. Probably we have less thing to say about this match than from the previous ones. There were no significant or red card given in such significant moments. We will talk about Ronaldo, obviously, here.
What a great
performance. But yeah, all in all, if I would need to summarize, it was going in accordance with the expectations and formalities. Khalij went out, tried their best. I believe they put their solid performance, but they also did the mistakes, also thanks to Al Nassr's high oppression. But at the end of the day, Al Nassr was better on each side of the pitch. But you know, you not normally cannot blame Al Khalij for this, because Al Nassr is a much more valuable team. Before we analyzing Al Nassr's performance, let me say that I want to congratulate to Al Khalij, because reaching the King Cup semi-final is an extraordinary performance, I believe, and they have to be very satisfied with that.
Yeah, obviously, it's great to see that, let's say, a smaller team was able to advance into the semifinals and also put up a good performance. But, you know, I don't know whether you know this player, this Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, he's...
I have heard about him.
looking at the end result, the goal scorers and the events of the match, we can say that he was... the main difference between the two teams.
Yeah, how did he pull that off? I mean, that first goal, you know what I'm talking about.
absolutely crazy.
So it was some mistake from the goalkeeper. And even in that situation, to react that quickly with your weaker foot and put that goal in from that position.
But does he really have a weaker foot?
No, we always say that Ronaldo's each foot is stronger than the other. So in that case, he could use just his left foot or the other stronger foot, let's call it that way. And with backwards to the net, he just with it rounded and put the ball into the net. It was a magnificent, magnificent goal. And what a technique.
Absolutely crazy. Yeah, I watched back the goal and yeah, beautiful. Simply beautiful. Because, you know, yes, college defense made a mistake, but you don't really expect a normal player to score from there. But, you know, it's not a normal player. It's Cristiano Ronaldo. So you can expect that he will pull off some, well, unexpected, which is only expected from him.
Okay, after the praising of this part of the match and this goal of Ronaldo, maybe we can jump to the penalty just to praise him from another aspect. Maybe, Andrzej, you can share us the story of this penalty.
Yeah, now, good point, Mark. Good point. Very good point.
Thanks.
I believe we praise Ronaldo because of his technical abilities, football skills, and the fact that he is called by someone as the king of football. Now we can start to praise him because of his personality and his style and how he behaves with his teammates. On that penalty, everybody thought that okay, Ronaldo will stand behind the ball as in 99% of the situations, right? But suddenly Mane was the one who appearing and scored beautifully the penalty, and yeah, we just couldn't imagine what happened. But if you think about it, Mane was the one who missed the penalty in a previous league match in the absence of Cristiano Ronaldo, who missed because of red card, what we explained and elaborated on in a previous episode. But it was missing, and in the absence of Ronaldo, Mane took the penalty and missed it. Apart from the fact that Mane played brilliantly on that match, still missed that penalty. And now Ronaldo probably did want to boost his morale and just told him that okay, you cannot finish penalties with a missed one, and yeah, take this and score it, my friend. And Mane did just as such and then scored. So I believe it was a very good sportsmanship what was presented on the Al-Awaf Stadium in this King Cup semi-final, and it was showed by the greatest of all.
So I don't know whether we want to talk more about this match. Maybe we should conclude this part because we are short of time.
But you forget something that there were. Okay.
No,
but,
I didn't forget it. I just concluded the match itself. So the final will be Hilal versus Nasser again, somewhere at the end of May.
Sorry, don't want to interrupt you. Just there was a third goal, right? On this football match, we didn't mention it.
Also, poor Akalic scored a consolation in the end.
Yeah, but...
Okay,
but
if you want to talk about Akalic goals, that the time is yours.
No, I just want to say that the third goal of Panacea, surprisingly, was called by Cristiano Ronaldo dos Santos Aveiro himself. So, sorry, but I haven't finished with the praising. So, there was a second
Ronaldo.
Okay,
sorry about
that. Now I close. You can conclude, sorry.
You love about the Akalic goal?
Additional praise. Yeah, but I just wanted to mention that in the end, despite a clean victory from Al Nassr, and we can say they decided the match in the first half already, it's good to see that Akalic got a consolation goal, and also warning sign for Al Nassr that their defense is still needs to improve.
Russian! Saudi League.
But okay, Mark, the word is yours. What did you want to say?
Okay, so the final will be again Hilal versus Nasser, somewhere at the end of May. I think the date is not confirmed yet. Yes, but it will be maybe the 30th of May or a day after that. But my point is not that. But about the Champions League, we just talked about it with Andriy Shendula before the recording and checked again the new rules of the Champions League, because there will be a new system next year. There will be a Champions League Elite. And after that, there will be a Champions League 2, I think, and a Champions League Challenge Cup. Let's call it this way.
For the challenge.
What is important for us now is the Champions League Elite, because as far as we understand, but it's quite complicated, as we just starting to get used to it in these Asian cups. So who will reach this Champions League Elite? So the rule is that the first of the Saudi League will go to the Elite, and also the cup winner will go to the Elite, along with the runner-up of the league, right?
Yes.
Andrish. So after these semifinals, what is decided that the cup winner will join, that's okay, but the cup winner will be the first or the second place from the league as well. So what is decided that the third place of the league will also join these two in the Champions League Elite, which is now Al Ahly. And what is also decided that by this lose against Al Hilal, I think it is quite sure that Al Ittihad will not reach this Champions League Elite next year. I don't know, maybe we will talk about it in our next episode about the league, that it's quite decided that who will be the third one, but I already mentioned it several times and it never worked. So,
or is it? And that's a teaser for the next episode.
We will talk nice about one. This. But yeah.
Okay, and one additional point. It's about by this the fourth place of the league, which will be interesting, because the fourth one will join the Champions League 2 next year, which is now Al Tawun. So that's an interesting point again, because I think Al Tawun will have every chance to win that Champions League 2, because it's much weaker than the Champions League Elite.
Yeah. Thank you. So basically, the conclusion is that as the league is ruled by the same two teams who will play in the final, the third spot in the league will also qualify for the Champions League Elite. But let's talk about these topics, precisely about the third to the fifth spot, the fight between these clubs in our next episode. And let me just conclude this one. And thank you guys for joining and discussing these very interesting Kings Cup matches. I think we are on the same opinion that we cannot wait to watch the final, because it will be I'm a bit afraid
as an Al Nassr supporter.
Well, we have seen that Hilal is not unbeatable. I mean, we had these Al Ain matches and even this match against Al Ittihad. Yes, in the end, Al Hilal progressed, but it was a close one. It could have ended either way. So,
Right. I'm still afraid, but thank you.
I tried to consolate you. No worries. So, thank you guys for joining and. Thanks to our listeners too, and we'll see you in the next episode. Cheers.